chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Oh, 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 oh.
Mr. President, are you allowed to, or are you willing to end this conflict with Iran charging tolls for passage through the strait?
Us charging tolls?
Iran.
What about us charging tolls?
Is that something you're considering?
I'd rather do that than let them have them, right? Why shouldn't we? We're the winner. We won, okay? They are militarily defeated. The only thing they have is the psychology of, oh, we're going to drop a couple of mines in the water, all right? No, we have a concept where we'll charge tolls, okay? I thought you meant us.
I was listening to this whole press conference yesterday, and at that point, I mean, I had already been assuming that we were going to work out some kind of a deal. At least Europe is going to be responsible for maintaining, you know, and keeping the strait open. But, you know, if America is going to be responsible for it, then America is going to make money off of it. I mean, that just sounds like that's not even Trump 101. That's like Trump breathing. Of course, we're going to find a way to make money off of this if we can. Joining us now, we have Jimmy Patronis. He is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. He was traveling yesterday, so we're making it up today. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks, and you hit the nail on the head. Look, this is like no other diplomat the world has ever dealt with. He's a business person, and he looks at is his investment into a region, a product, a business, has to have a return on that investment. And this is no different if we're going to make the world a safer place, because Iran is no longer have nukes, and then Iran wants to be a knucklehead and fight back against us in whatever ridiculous ways with the Strait of Hormuz, then all right, that's fine. Then we're going to be sit there as a gatekeeper with a military that will be cash flowing based off the fees that are collected. By hook or crook, we're going to make sure that Iran is no longer a threat to the rest of the world.
You know, one of the things, you know, I have a lot of criticism for the president, but the more this war goes on and the more some of the strategy becomes clear and his view of the world becomes clear and what he is concerned about in Iran, you know, the writer he becomes, in my opinion. And the fact that he's so frustrated with NATO, he said it yesterday, he's frustrated with NATO, he's frustrated with Great Britain, he's frustrated with Japan, South Korea, Australia. Who he's not frustrated with is the people who are in the region who immediately grasp it. I feel like we are, I don't know, we're on the verge of a completely different alignment of global powers. And it's, I don't know that he's wrong for the way he's reacting to some of this stuff. Like, how do you guys not get what's at stake here?
Well, and I think it's universally felt that people hate freeloaders. And so here we have been, you know, investing money into Europe. And look, there has been other types of benefits. Look, do we have access to those markets and all those things and good, you know, open dialogues? Absolutely. But it kind of gets to the point where we're putting so much money up and they're not putting, you know, a thimbleful of equivalent, then this is where the president can say, all right, NATO, you've got to start stepping up. And now they're meeting their levels with the goal of getting to 5% of their GDP, except for Spain. But, you know, we've got to have some of these guys start to step up. We cannot, you know, be the world's peacekeeper at all times. And this is why, you know, the whole envision they had with the Board of Peace was, you know, you bring these nation states together. They care about prosperity. They care about safety and security. They're all working together. But the common enemy to that whole group is a definitely unpredictable Iran with their doctrine and their regime, not the friends of the Western world.
You know, because President Trump is very good at seeing opportunity where everybody else sees nothing. You know, I think of like the ice rink and the post office and all those kind of things. I honestly think, you know, when people laugh at the, you know, reimagine Gaza, you know, kind of a concept. But I think if you look at the Middle East, you know, if you look at Jerusalem, if you look at Jordan, if you look at some of the areas that have tremendous Dubai, you look at some of the areas that have tremendous prosperity. I mean, I think the president looks at the Middle East and thinks, why can't that be what it has been historically? Why can't we have these historic world great powers with all of the wealth and the marvels of the natural world? Why can't that be that way? Oh, it's because these lunatics are in the way. Okay, well, let's get rid of these lunatics.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've always said it probably really didn't hit home with me until I became CFO of the state. And you start studying finances of the state and you look at where the state prospers. People are not going to make an investment. They're not going to build new industry. They're not going to have families relocate unless it is safe.
Right.
I don't, you know, so this is why I've been such a, I just became obsessed with first responders, our firefighters and law enforcement, because, man, if you support them, then people invest. And if people invest, the whole community starts to prosper. There's better jobs, better environment, safer places. Your kids are outside playing because there's no threats of getting harmed. Except on the internet.
Yeah, well, so, we'll get to that,
you know,
for sure.
That's our next segue. So
we'll get. I did want to give you one last second though on this on Iran. Obviously, Northwest Florida has a tremendous military presence. I mean, how many bases are in your district or close to your district? And you know, all kinds of things that are going on in Iran, we are touching either directly or indirectly through training or through deployment or whatever. And I wanted to give you a chance to talk about. Obviously, the big news of the weekend and yesterday was this dramatic two-part rescue of the downed aviator from the F-15E, the pilot and the Wizzo. Your thoughts, comments, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, look, there's no way on God's green earth that rescue could have been as successful as it was if it wasn't for the incredible men and women that trained right in Northwest Florida. All of their skills, all of their efforts, all went in working around the clock, just programming instinctively in order to do exactly what they were trying to do right in Northwest Florida. And just, man, I tell you, if you're not proud of the type of folks we get to live with in our neighborhoods, then you just basically moved in yesterday, because we have got some real American heroes that call Northwest Florida home.
I tell you, every once in a while, it's tempting to have the thought, I know we were great in World War I. You know, I know we were great in World War II. I know we have been great historically, you know, in our military and our capability and our innovation and our technology. And then, you know, but you look at what happens with Russia and Ukraine. We thought Russia was great. Turns out Russia's pretty pathetic and, you know, can't even accomplish basic military operations like refueling their tanks. And so, you know, do we, you know, is that next generation falling apart? Are they really fantastic? Are we really capable of doing? And then you see something like this in Venezuela and the first operation last year, and you think, you know what, we do pretty well. America does pretty well. You know, the president has just put up this Truth Social post where he says the whole civilization is going to die tonight, never to be brought back again. I don't want it to happen, but it probably will, and so forth. And I know, you know, some folks are freaking out. Like, he can't do that. He can't destroy a whole population. He's going to attack civilian targets and all this. To me, I think of President Trump as somebody who he knows how to deal with the sycophants and the egotists and the sociopaths and the total tyrants in the business world. And, you know, he's kind of in his domain when he's dealing with crazy people. Like, he knows how to deal with them. And I don't think we're going to destroy the whole civilization. I just think Trump knows how to speak a language that maybe the Iranians will finally listen to.
Well, and don't rule out. So Pakistan has been very engaged on trying to de-escalate this situation. Because I tell you, Pakistan knows this president will go in there and bomb them to the Stone Ages. And the last thing Pakistan wants is, you know, millions of Iranian refugees. Mm. So, I mean, so Pakistan is motivated to try to, you know, make this, you know, go away and open up the strait and try to get back to normal. But, you know, I think the president's been pretty known. You can't be trusted with weapons, and we're just going to make sure that you don't have those. And they're mad. They're upset. And they're definitely not a culture that you're going to bump into at the 7-Eleven or, you know, at the Tom Thumb. But it's you know, it is what it is. We got to use strength in order to bring this in for a landing.
You know, turning to social media, there was a story that I didn't see get a lot of attention, but I thought it was fascinating, that YouTube is now allowing parents to block all of the shorts for kids. Now, I know a lot of people may not know what that means, but think like your reels on Instagram or on Facebook or your TikTok videos. You know, YouTube has long form and then they have the short form, the little ones, and they're basically saying those ones are uniquely toxic for kids and we're going to allow parents to block that. That's good, but it's still not as good as it could be, right, Jimmy?
Yeah. So we were talking pre-show. I said, you know what, YouTube, thank you for doing this. This is great. It's a good step forward, but let's flip the script. You know what? Turn them off and allow mom and dad to turn them on. Mm-hmm. Turn them off. Allow mom and dad to use them as a reward for their kids. So, I mean, I know that those shorts are incredible, fantastic part of your business revenues, but with our kids, man, you got to be hands off. And, you know, having it on unless mom and dad turns it off, man, you know, I don't know about all mom and dads out there, but trying to navigate some of the safety settings on the phones or on the software apps, it's a challenge. And they don't do it that way by accident. You know, they like to be able to keep the eyeballs glued to the devices.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, for people who may not realize the difference, the real brain rot on YouTube is the shorts. I mean, granted, a lot of the long-form videos are brain rot, too. But and not just the content, as we've said so many times, but the mechanism itself, the constant scrolling, what that does to the brain, addicted levels, notifications, keeping up, all of the stuff is much more prevalent on YouTube with the shorts than it is with the regular videos. And that's why having it default off instead of default on would be a good thing. UWF? Division One, who knew? Well, a few people.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, Manny was so fired up about wanting to do this. And you know, it doesn't happen overnight. And it's going to have huge dividends for Northwest Florida. You know, one thing I didn't realize until, you know, you start to get into a state government, you start visiting these universities, man, a D1 athletics program takes your university to the next level. So whether it's going to be the attraction it's going to have for the type of talented students that are going to call, you know, University of West Florida their alma mater, you know, kudos to him and the trustees for being so supportive about making this effort. You know, it's going to be great things for Northwest Florida.
Anything else you're working on, Jimmy? Anything you want to get us caught up on that I missed to ask you about?
You know, I listened to the president's press conference yesterday. And, you know, and then there's all the conspiracy theories of why did Pete Hegseth cancel his press conference this morning. I tell people, I said, you know, they said everything yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
And now, yeah, so they said everything. I mean, they really, and then the president gave open mic questions for a significant part of the press conference. So, I mean, I don't know how you're going to belabor it any more than already it has. All the points have been made. They really couldn't share everything that the public wanted to know because, I mean, it's like General Kane said, you know, we hope we don't have to do this again, but we might. And there's no sense showing, you know, all of our execution plan strategies because we may have to do this again. So, I mean, I just still, I'm so amazed of the execution of those operations and how they worked through the night. And it's so, you know, incredible that we got everybody home safe and alive.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you. I thought when the press conference was over, I'm like, why are they going to have another one tomorrow? We're good. I've been very critical of the Pentagon's treatment of the press and the way they've been handling the press and some of their decisions. But in this particular case, as a member of the press, I learned everything I needed to know. I don't need to know more, especially because I know that every little nugget of additional information carries the risk that our adversaries now in Iran or in the future in China, if God forbid we have to actually do that, I don't want them to know anything about what we do because that puts us in a more of an advantageous situation. So protect that operational security. And, you know,
that's
means, you know, you did what you need to do for the press conference. I'm good. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you're doing, and we'll talk to you again next week.
See you next week. Take care.